this is our friend Dante and Phyllis. Phyllis, 30 years ago, worked at a beauty salon that I went to. So when I saw them coming up the steps, I was like, oh my gosh. So it's amazing to see Miss Phyllis again. And Pastor Charlene, love, joy, hope. All of those things wrapped up into one is Pastor Charlene. Being a new pastor and starting out during COVID, many people who I've met on Zoom. And so there was a women's meeting on Zoom, and Pastor Charlene radiates with love, joy, and hope. And I just reached out to her and found out a little bit more about her. She's high energy, and she loves people. And it was very interesting to hear about all of her all the things that she's involved in at Ripple. She's going to be sharing about that. But I feel very blessed that she was willing to come and share with all of us. And so with that, I'd like to pray for Pastor Charlene. Heavenly Father, may your words be heard through Charlene. May we hear all about Ripple, the Ripple community, all the lives that they're reaching. And just may we continue to pray for Ripple and be with Charlene this morning as she shares with all of us. Amen.
Thank you, thank you. Can you guys hear me pretty good? Pastor Beth said I'm high energy, and I am. Normally I'm bouncing all over the place. but I am very grateful to be with you here this morning. Wellspring, you have blessed my heart this morning. I have enjoyed the music. I have enjoyed the prayers. And so I thank you for having me here today. And so what I would like to do this morning is to tell you a little bit about the church that I co-pastor. It's called Ripple. It is in Allentown, Pennsylvania. We are not our typical church. Our church services are a little different. They can go any way. Things can be a little disruptive during church sometime. The children can be disrupted. The members can be disruptive. But we allow the Holy Spirit to move in the church, and we just continue no matter what goes on. So I brought a little clip here with me because I wanted you to meet the co-pastors that I work with. So we are Ripple. We are ordinary people led by God to do extraordinary things in our community. And so from left to right is Pastor Angela, who has been there the longest right now. Then there's Pastor Daniil. He is the youngest pastor. Pastor Ben just retired, left us a month ago. Actually, it's been right before COVID that he retired. He resigned. But he continues to work with us in our community garden at Ripple Church. We have a community garden, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. That is me in the middle with the flowers. Right before COVID started, I was credentialed. That was the last service that we had at our church, and then COVID hit, and as things just went awry. That is Pastor Marilyn at the end. She was our senior pastor in our congregation, and she also is no longer with us. Her family wanted her to come and join them in California when the pandemic hit. So that is Ripple. We are Ripple. Next slide. So this lady, and you can't see her very well, but she's a little hunched over. She's one of our ladies in the homeless community who inspires me every day. She comes out with her cart. She takes the bus. She comes and gets a meal. She's very quiet. But when you look at her, you can always see that she enjoys whatever it is that we have for her. So she has just been my inspiration through this pandemic. She shows up. This is another young lady, and this is an area that has recently been torn up. We have been serving from our bus station. It's called the ATC, the Allentown Transit Center. So let me just tell you about this area, a little bit about it. When the pandemic hit, I can imagine yourself as we all were. Myself, I'm 60 years old, I have high blood pressure, I'm pre-diabetic, and all I could think of was, Lord, you couldn't have brought me this far to leave me. The news had us terrified. I could not sleep at night. But when they shut down the country, I thought about our homeless friends, our unsheltered friends. They closed the shelters. They closed the... Can you guys hear me? Okay. I'll bring this a little closer to me because I move around a little bit. So if you don't mind me rearranging things a little bit, I kind of move. I talk with my hands, so I'm going to come a little closer. So they shut everything down. They shut the shelters down where the unsheltered people were sleeping. They shut down all the food pantries, all the places where people can go and eat. They shut down all the restaurants that were welcoming places for people to come and wash their hands and maybe go inside and splash some water on them. And so there they were, and there I was at home, afraid. I will be honest with you. I was afraid. But I thought about these people, and I said, Lord, who will take care of these people? Where will they go? And so we went to the Allentown Transit Center where we found them all sitting around, no masks, no hand sanitizer, and nowhere to go. And so I don't remember, I remember one pastor asking me, Pastor Charlene, what are you going to do? Because they know I'm always everywhere doing everything, and they said, we know you're not going to sit still, though I had intended to. And I don't remember how I got Phyllis on board with me. But we've been at the Allentown Transit Center, and this is the transit center, ever since the pandemic started. I would go home at night. I would go home afterwards. It took us all of 30 minutes to serve people, you know. And I would go home and go back into that fear mood. But trusting God, there was not one day that Phyllis and I and the other team of people who came aboard with us did not get up, go out, serve hot meals every day, meals that were cooked that morning or sandwiches that were prepared that morning. People began to send hand sanitizer to us. People began to send masks to us. There was never a time that we needed anything. God provides. God provides. And so now this Allentown Transit Center has been torn down. But we continue to go every day. Well, we've broken it down since things are being a little more relaxed. We're out there now Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so we continue to go because we live in a city that is being, what do they call it? It's going through gentrification, where all these nice, lovely buildings are going up, and people who normally live in the city are being pushed out. And so not only has the pandemic pushed these people to the side, but this regentrification that is going on in our city has also continued to push people to the side. So I call myself an outreach pastor. This is a name I've given myself because this is all I know. This is I was raised in New Jersey, so I'll tell you a little bit about me. I was raised in New Jersey. My mother's a pastor. She brought homeless people home with her. And so it's all I know is to give. I was raised in the church. I could always think of nothing more than being a woman of God, being led by God. I remember one lady in my church who just, she shined. She just shined. Every time you saw her, she was just a shiny person. At me as a little girl, I thought she was just a shiny person. But she was a godly woman, and she set a good godly example, and that is what I have always strived to be. Between this lady, and I don't even remember her name, but my grandparents who took me to church, this is what I strive to do, to be a woman of God, to serve God, to please God, to glorify God in all that I do. And so if you'll go to the next. This is, again, where we serve at. This is, and you can just let it go. These are, and I'm sorry the pictures didn't come out the way I thought. There's Phyllis, Pastor Blunt, and other volunteers. And so when I look at these pictures, people were willing to pray. follow God's example. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do. And so I just wanted to share a little bit with you. This one clip right here is a gentleman who's receiving a plate of food. And you can't see this, but you could see the smile on his face. You can see the thanksgiving in his heart. And so these are some of the things that have kept us through the pandemic. And we have been and continue to be pleased to serve these people in the community. I was raised Baptist all my life. In 2017, I graduated from Liberty University and was asked to come aboard with Ripple Church in Allentown. During my tenure at Union Baptist Church, the church that I attended for 30 years, I was the director of what was called the Helping Hands Ministry. The pastor of that church was very gracious, allowed me to spread my wings, so to speak, because there was not a strong outreach ministry. And he just said, just do whatever you want to do. And so we created a food pantry. We created a book bag drive for children in the city that many times go back to school unprepared for school. Can you imagine a child having to go to school without a book bag, without a pencil, without a piece of paper to write on? And then children can be very cruel. And so those children who do have often taunt the children that don't have. And so that became an annual thing that was done in the church through the ministry. But my passion was for the broken, for the unsheltered. And so I prayed and I said, God, you know what I love. Ask you, God, to open doors that I might be able to go out into the community and serve. And so when this opportunity came for me to join Ripple, I was very sure. And I could just picture that door and Jesus standing there and saying, come in. The doors are open. You prayed this prayer. And so I did join Ripple. So now I am a co-pastor at Ripple Mennonite Church, where I serve with these three now lovely pastors. Ripple was started by Carolyn and Tom Albright. They befriended a homeless man who since has passed away. And to tell you the homeless, to just give you a little idea of how bad the homeless situation is, not just in Allentown, but all across the nation. This man who was befriended by these two pastors has since died. He was crushed in a trash compactor, sleeping, trying to stay warm. But he was an instrument in helping to shape Ripple. He would take cards out and he would go out and he would pass them out to his homeless friends. And they began to come to the church. Pastor Carolyn and Pastor Tom would have church in their home. Then they were asked to bring the church into Allentown, which they did. They left their home. If you could read the article, it's a very touching article. They left their home, sold their ranch home to move into an apartment in Allentown to come and start this church in Allentown, which they called it Church of the Porch. Is that right, Helen? Church of the Porch. Because a lot of people do not trust the church, did not want to come into the church. And so Pastor Carolyn and Pastor Tom would sit on the porch. Now, we do what is called a rotation, the pastors at Ripple. We all rotate our leadership duties, and we still do that. That's something that began with Pastor Tom and Pastor Carolyn, because the people would sit on the porch. They would have church on the porch for those who did not want to come in. Another pastor would go inside with people who would like to sit in circles. Pastor Tom and Pastor Carolyn created Ripple to be a restorative church. Restorative, where people can come in, can get healing, and get to know Jesus Christ. So for those that would like to come inside, they were able to come inside. And then there was the church at the table, where everyone sat down, ate together, shared stories together. And so that is Ripple. That is a church that I am very happy to be a part of. And so if hopefully I gave you just a little idea of what we do there at Ripple. And my printer didn't print today, but it's okay. I said I'm always ready and things always shift. So today I would like to just speak a little bit from the Gospel of Luke, and I will be reading chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, and just bear with me. We live in now in the age of technology where if we're not Zooming, our word is on the book, and I was so happy to see people walking in today with their Bibles because I never was out my Bible, and I got used to being with people who carry their technology, so here I am with my technology, but the Word of God never changes, and it endures forever. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him for dead. A priest happened by. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw the man, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and vinegar. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out his denaro and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra that you may have." So, when we hear that story of the Good Samaritan, this is one of the most beloved stories in the Bible, one of the most taught stories in the Bible. I would say especially in churches where we are striving to follow that word of God to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. This man that was harmed was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, which is a pretty rough terrain in between the two. Imagine there are rocks that robbers can hide behind. And so traveling that road, you need to be safe. So this man was attacked by these robbers. He was beaten and he was left for dead. Can you imagine Pastor Beth walking down that road and walking past this man who was laying there in the road? Can you imagine that? What would you think? What would you say? Could you imagine being a person traveling on that road and seeing Pastor Beth? Would you say something to her later on in church? Pastor Beth, why'd you pass by that man? And then the Levite would be like the assistant to the pastor. So this Levite walks by. And what's your name again?
Me?
Yes.
Jake.
Could you imagine? I could not imagine that man walking past that Samaritan, that injured man. I couldn't imagine it. He prays so wonderfully. He cares for others. You can hear it. You can hear it. And so we can't imagine why. Would you ask yourself why? Why? Why would you walk past? I want you to ask yourself these questions. Why would anybody walk past an injured man? Now, we know that Jews and Samaritans did not get along. They did not socialize with one another. They did not like one another. And so, for a Jewish priest to stop and attend to a Samaritan would be to defile himself, to make himself unclean. So he could not go into the church that Sunday because he'd be unclean. And maybe that would be the excuse that they would give of why they didn't stop and help this man. But in our text, do you think that the priest and the Levite are going to inherit the kingdom of God? The text says, there was a lawyer who was testing Jesus, and he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And we all serve God because we want to inherit eternal life. But how can we do that if we do not keep that command that God gave us to love one another? No matter what your religion is, no matter what your ethnicity is. And right now we're living in a time where there's certainly been a lot of upheaval in our country. We've had race riots. We've lived through a pandemic. And so our love, our ability to love has certainly been put to the test. But one thing that myself, and I'm sure Phyllis can say, is that we've seen love in action, because love is an action word. Where does love come from? Somebody, where does love come from? If you had to pick a place within you, where does love come from? There it is. Love comes from the heart. And so God examines our heart. So we can, I'll use Phyllis and I like to give good examples that you can hold on. Phyllis and I, we've been at BATC through the whole pandemic. And if we were not there with our hearts, when we stood before the Lord Jesus Christ, he would say, I know you're not. I can quote scripture. I can stand before the church and say how good God is. I can serve the unsheltered. But unless these actions come from my heart, if I'm doing it for show, if I'm doing it for a pat on the back, God is not honoring that. Because what God wants from us is he wants our deeds to honor him, to glorify him, and to show those who don't know him. We're to be a light, a beacon, a light unto Jesus. And so Phyllis and I have been so fortunate to be able to see people who, they know we come in the name of Jesus. They know that we come in the name of Jesus. We lost one of our unsheltered friends, I don't even know if Phyllis knows this. We lost one of our unsheltered friends. I had to give a little speech for the conference, for the midnight conference. And I was asked to, you know, share where I've seen God's, the Holy Spirit working in our lives through this pandemic. So I left my house that morning, and I needed some inspiration. I was like, I just need some inspiration. So I got up. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning, went down to the ATC, and there were two of our unsheltered friends, 7 a.m. in the morning, at a time of the year where the sun wasn't all the way up. They had music playing, gospel music, blasting, coming from their phones. They had a little headset set up, had their Bibles, and they were out there just praising God. The man, go fast. Passed away day before yesterday. And so when we look at people who are unsheltered, we don't think they have the Spirit of God in them. They have it. You know, this man that was on the side of the road, the priest and the Levite judged this man because maybe he was a Samaritan. No, he was a Jew. That's right. He was a Jew. And now that I think about it, the scripture is a little confusing because the Samaritan. So we have to ask, who were the priests? Who were the priests? So everything seemed to be based on the denomination. But does it matter what denomination we come through? I've come to find out it does not matter. If you remember in the beginning, I said I was a Baptist all of my life. And today I stand before you as a pastor in a Mennonite congregation. Through this pandemic, we have had Catholic people. We have had Lutheran people. We have had everybody, and they continue to serve with us. And so God said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor no matter what color the skin is. Don't judge because of the color of your skin. Don't judge, you know, get to know people, walk with people. We all have issues and we all have problems. As I listened today to our brother with the prayer request, and I'm certainly going to be keeping Rachel in prayer. I know a young lady who has been fighting cancer, and she began her fight with cancer at the age of 24. And she has such a strong faith. This young woman has probably had close to 100 surgeries. She started out with this cancer. Again, at 24 years old, she had a baby. After she was diagnosed with cancer, her daughter graduated high school. Since she's had this cancer, she has received her doctorate degree. She purchased a home, and she's gotten married. And I get text messages all the time from a prayer line that we have that says, pray for her. She's back at the hospital, but she's back home again. She's back at the hospital. She's back at home again. So God is able to do more than we can think or ask. And so I stand before you today thankful to be able to just come and share with you for a little bit. Just remember that good Samaritan was Jesus passing by. And so Jesus passes us all by to let us know that he accepts us no matter who we are, no matter what color we are. That inn that the man took him to, that was the church. That was the church. So we are to embrace those passerbys. Let them know that Jesus loves them. And then bring them to the church where we can love on them. He said, he gave them dinero and said, take care of this man. And if he incurs any further charges or while he's here, I'll be back to take care of it. How many of us would do that? How many of us would take a perfect stranger? As I thought about this scripture, I thought about this man taking his credit card out of his pocket. And we know how we hold on to our credit cards, right? taking his credit card out of his pocket and saying, take care of this man. Take care of this man. We have, and I shared this with Beth, so we have women that come out. There's so many women that are unsheltered, men that are unsheltered, senior citizens that are unsheltered. How many of you know that just the ability to change your underwear every day is a blessing? We think about what it would be like not to be able to eat, not to be able to put on a fresh pair of clothes, not to have a roof over your head. And it dawned on me as I was ministering and serving meals to these women, I wonder if they've changed their underwear. And so ministry and love comes in all forms. And we got to think past. You got to think past. You know, we say, oh, let me give some food. Can you imagine not being able to put on clean underwear? It's a heartbreaking thought. Can you imagine not being able to wash up every day, not having deodorant? But can you imagine how we must look at these people when we pass them by? Have you ever sat and listened to the story of a homeless person? A lot of our unsheltered people come from good families, have good educations. They're all somebody's children. But first and foremost, they're a child of God. And they've all come from somewhere. And so just like the Good Samaritan, a lot of times we see them and we pass them by. You ever see someone standing on the side of the road saying, I'm a homeless veteran or I'm homeless? And certainly people do run scams. They do. But I think that the Spirit of God will convict us and show us. And sometimes if you feel led to give, like you ever feel a little led to give and you go, and you think about it for a minute and before that light changes, you say, oh no, forget it. If you're led to give, give. Because God knows your heart. God knows that you gave with a heart of love for the Father. But God gave, sent us here. Somebody read the scriptures from Philippians, I believe it was. God sent us here to be an example of the love that He gave to us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever would believe in Him would have life eternal. He said, be Christ-like, be as I am. And He had no boundaries. He gave all that He had. All that He had. And so I come today to encourage you that if your heart is telling you to get to know your neighbor who maybe you don't know. Because who is our neighbor? That's the question. The lawyer thought he was really being pretty, you know, slick. Lord, who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Think about it. And so at Ripple Church, we usually do just a little short sermon to give people something to think about, because our people have a short attention span. So I hope today that I've given you something to think about. Who is your neighbor? And how much can you love? Can you love anybody? Can you love the man laying in the street? Can you love that person whose skin color is different or whose denomination is different? And then what we do at Ripple is we invite people to share a ripple with us. And so what a ripple is somewhere in the last week, we say, but if you want to, and let me tell you what our church is, Ripple. You know when you throw a rock into the water, and it ripples out? That is what we strive to do, to ripple out into the community, out into all communities. And in my ripple, we'll ripple into your community, and your ripple will ripple out into the next community. And so ripples are times when we share, when we're seeing God moving in our lives or in the lives of others. And as we share those ripples, we share the love of Jesus Christ. And we make him real in the lives of others. And so I invite you today to share a ripple, if you are so moved, somewhere where you've seen Jesus at work in your life or in the life of someone else. Maybe somebody just passed by and said hello and you just needed that hello that day. So I'm going to invite you to share ripples, and I'm going to ask Phyllis to share her ripple first. She always has such great ripples. And what I like about Phyllis's ripples is every little thing, she sees Christ in it. And so, Phyllis, I'm going to invite you to share a ripple with us.
Can I share from you?
Sure.
Anyway, I just want to have three ripples to share. The first ripple is we feed the homeless every Sunday. Every Sunday, God has provided food for us. And all the years of Ripple, never once did we have to say to these people, we don't have anything for you today. Never once. So, and then there a day, well, wasn't it? Not a day, you see it across the street. We were aiming at food. There was a young woman, and she was homeless, and she didn't have anything. And so we gave her lunch, and she said to me, do you mind if I sit down here and eat my lunch with you? So, of course, I said yes. So she sat there, and she ate her lunch with us, and it was really, really amazing. And I love to say hello to people who do not answer me. Because the more you say hello to them, after a while, they turn around and they say, hi. And then they talk to you a little bit, yeah. Because, you know, they have been so wounded, so rejected, that when anyone says, notices them, you have to notice people. We just don't give them food. We understand they are people, just like everybody else. And sometimes they say hi, and then it's kind of like that. But I have a really cute story, so that's my two real ripples, but this story is really cute. Here I was, sitting on my front porch. I live downtown, Second Street, and this man, I don't know if I should say it or not, but he was black and black could be. Mm-hmm. And he looked up at me and he said to me, do you know who I am? I said, no, I said, I don't know who. He said to me, I am God. And 26 is my number. And 26 is my favorite number. So in case you want to know where God is, God lives on Second Street now.
So I'm going to let you have a second to see if you want to share a ripple with us from Allentown, because I'm sure you guys have some ripples to share with us. I'll share a ripple with you. This pandemic has certainly been horrific. A lot of us have experienced some deep hurt, but a lot of people have also experienced healing during this time. I know of one lady who's a senior citizen, who, very feisty lady, and needed to go into senior living and was forced to go into senior living during this pandemic. And today she's much healthier than she was. I'm going to share a couple of ripples. So I want you to know what a ripple is. So she's very healthy today, and she was forced. And she called me, and she said, "Pastor Charlene, can you find me an apartment? I need to get out of here. I want to get out of here." And I said, "Miss Maddie, her name is Miss Maddie. I can't get you out of there." I said, "You're in the best place that you can be right now." Well, the other day I went and got Miss Maddie. Her daughter graduated, and that's the second part of this one ripple. Her daughter was going through a lot of tough times. She got pregnant with a second child, and was placed into a home for unwed mothers where she got her high school diploma. She graduated the other day. Her grandmother was healthy enough to come and see her graduate. That's a ripple. The pandemic has been horrific, but it has forced people into situations where normally they wouldn't. Miss Maddie may not have lived if not for this pandemic. There have been children born. There have been people who have come together to help one another that would not have come together if not for this pandemic. So that is my ripple. I've seen people come together, and I've seen people heal. That's my ripple. Does anybody else have a ripple they'd like to share? Amen. That's great. Thank you. That's right. And so God does not give us the spirit of fear. And so for those of us who have tread through this pandemic but managed to find love even in the midst of this pandemic, I want to say to you, Wellsprings, thank you so much for having me. I hope that I have enlightened you in some way about, as the sister said, things that are going on outside of this community. You guys have definitely blessed me. Your spirit of worship, I love it. I truly have felt the spirit of God in this house. I truly have been blessed by the songs that you sung here today, and I felt welcome. So God bless you. If you don't mind, Pastor Beth, may I pray with your congregation? Let us pray together. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come before you right now with Bow down heads, God, in humble hearts. God, first we thank you, God. We praise you, God. We give you all honor and all glory for this wonderful, beautiful day. God, we thank you for each and every person that is assembled here in this sanctuary today. God, you know each and every one of them, God. You know them name by name, God. You know them heart by heart, oh God. And Father, you know everything that they stand in need of, oh God. Father, if it is just a touch from you, God, we ask that you give it, God. God, if they need a renewed spirit, God, we ask that you give it, God. We ask, God, that if there would be one here today, oh God, that is standing in the need of a healing, God, I ask that you give it, God. Whether it be a physical healing, an emotional healing, a mental healing, God, whatever that it is that they stand in need of, oh God, we ask them right now that you would touch this humble congregation, God. Father, if there would be one, oh God, that has a marriage or a home, God, that is experiencing brokenness, oh God, we ask, oh God, that you heal. Father, if there are those that have been separated, God, we ask that, God, you bring them together, God. We ask that you restore, God, because you are a restorer of broken things. Father, we ask, oh God, if we stand in the need of more faith, give us faith, God. Give us love. Give us peace, God. And then, Father, we ask, oh God, that you would give us hearts, oh God, to remember to lift up and pray for those that are standing in need. Help us to reach out to this community. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all honor. We give you all glory for your word, God, for it is true. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.